Morning, everybody.
Morning.
My name is Mike Macho. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a member of the congregation filling in for our vacationing Pastor Jim this morning. And a little bit later, I'm going to be speaking about one of your favorite subjects, food, or as the back of the bulletin calls it, the true bread. I would like you to invite you to bring your bulletin home and read about it if you haven't done it already. There are a few announcements on the insert that you can find your place on, but I'd like to highlight just a couple of them. One of them, that there will be no Bible studies this week, and then there has been a lost and found section set up in the fellowship hall. If anybody's missing anything, there's quite a few items there. And also, I want to announce that today, being the first Sunday of the month, means we'll be having a second collection by passing around the blessing boxes, seeking contributions for items on Bethesda's wish list. Today is also Communion Sunday, and I will be inviting everyone to participate. And could you please fill out the little green cards next to the hymnals in front of you and either place them in the collection box or give them to the ushers on the way up to communion. Does anybody else have any announcements? Okay, let's begin then with a word of prayer. Ever-loving God, your Son gives himself as a living bread for the life of the world. Fill us with such a knowledge of his presence that we may strengthen and sustain and be sustained by his risen life to serve you continually through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's continue with our opening hymn, Beautiful Savior. Why don't we do verses 1, 2, and 4? Yes. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess together our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captives to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, Lead us that way in life in your will, and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. In the mercy of the Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives all of our sins. By his authority, I therefore declare to you your entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Please join in the prayer of the day. Let us pray. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and we are satisfied. Fill us in this world and all we need with the life that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
My voice will feeble, it may. From Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Christians share fundamental unity and diversity. Our unity consists in the one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Our diversity is expressed in various forms of ministry, whose goal is equipping the saints and building up Christ's one body. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped as each part is working properly, promotes the body grown in building itself up in love. Here ends the reading. We'll now read responsively from Psalm 78, verses 23 through 29. And where you find the bold R, please insert the refrain, God rained down manna from heaven, so mortals are the bread of angels. Let's begin. So God commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven.
Rain down manna upon those feet, and give them rain from heaven. God rained down manna from heaven, so mortals ate the bread of angels.
So mortals ate the bread of angels. God provided for them food enough.
The Lord caused the east wind to blow over the heavens, and power through the house of the south wind,
bringing down flesh upon them like dust and flying birds, like the sand of the seas.
Let them fall in the midst of the camp, and round about the dwellings.
So the people ate and were well filled, for God gave them what they craved.
God rained down manna from heaven, so mortals ate the bread of angels.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Today's gospel is taken from John chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. Many of the 5,000 people Jesus fed in the wilderness continued to follow him throughout the countryside. Jesus challenges them to consider the real nature of their quest. Verse 24,
So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Please be seated while singing our sermon hymn, "Break Now the Bread of Life," number 515. So here we have a beautiful story in today's gospel reading. Jesus has a lot to say about food that perishes and food that endures. He's being pursued by a crowd of people who saw him feed 5,000. And he tells them they got their minds on the wrong things. Jesus is obviously not happy with the fact that the crowd is so interested in more free bread. For him, the feeding of the 5,000 wasn't just about giving people free bread. It was a sign pointing to Jesus and his identity. He says to the crowds, "Very truly, I tell you, you are not looking for the loaves. You are not looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." He challenges them and pushes them. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Jesus wants them to understand that he has something better, deeper, more completely filling than any meal could ever give. Jesus wanted them to find something much better than what they were looking for. About a century and a half ago, a group of ex-soldiers were working to build a sawmill on the American Fork River in Western California. Their promised wages were $1.50 a day, which is nothing to sneeze at in those days. But while blasting away dirt from the new mill channel, one of the men saw a golden sparkle on the rocks that were buried. The year was 1848, and the California gold rush would soon start, all because some workers found something much more valuable than what they were looking for. 80-some years later, a Scottish doctor named Alexander Fleming, investigating the growth of harmful bacteria, was disappointed to discover that one of his samples had become contaminated with mold. He almost threw the Petri dish away, but then stopped when he saw how the mold had prevented the harmful bacteria from growing. From studying this moldy sample, Fleming and the other researchers eventually worked to produce penicillin, the first of many antibiotic medicines. In that little moldy plate, Dr. Fleming found something much better than what he was looking for. While the large crowds of people who were looking for Jesus in today's gospel reading were looking for him, and no wonder, the day before they received a miraculous meal from Jesus' hands. Food from more than 5,000 people suddenly appearing out of a few loaves of small bread. Now they're back wanting more of that miracle food. Remember, this crowd is a lot of very hungry people. People who really, really want and possibly even need some bread. These people were under Roman occupation and had to give most of the food they grew back to the Romans. Was Jesus going to keep performing those kinds of miracles? The people wanted more of the same, so they went looking for Jesus. Well, we might have expected that Jesus would be thrilled that so many people were looking for him. But Jesus explained to those people that although they were looking for him, they were not looking for the things that Jesus had really come to give them. In the words of this chapter, Jesus showed the crowds, "I'm not what you're looking for. I'm something better." You know, they must have really been shocked when Jesus says, in effect, "No, I'm not giving you any bread today like I did yesterday. I'm not the bread man, even to you hungry people." Jesus refused to be some kind of a Santa Claus Jesus who gives things out like a vending machine. "You want bread, but you need me." Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." You see, after the crowds had eaten the previous day, they had attempted to make Jesus their king by force. Jesus had escaped them, gone into the hills, and then during the night walked on the water to his disciples in the boat. The people caught up to him and demanded to know when and how Jesus had mysteriously arrived on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But rather than explain his means of transportation, Jesus cut to the heart of the people's problem. "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me. Not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." It's interesting that Jesus told them they hadn't seen signs because clearly, you know, they had seen a miracle. But in John's gospel, every miracle that Jesus did was a sign. That is, it pointed to something. To create food for thousands of people was a sign pointing people to see who Jesus was, the Almighty Son of God who came down from heaven. It was a sign to pay attention to Jesus and his words, to listen to the good news of salvation he was bringing. But Jesus told those people that they weren't really interested in that. All they cared about was satisfying their appetites. Jesus' greatest gift to you is not the daily bread that he gives us so generously. It is the faith in him that he has placed in your heart, a faith that leads to eternal life. The food and the clothing, the cars and the computers, our jewelry and real estate, and all the other physical gifts that God showers upon us temporarily, they spoil. Don't throw away your life, physical or spiritual, chasing after food that spoils. The people of New Orleans found that difference between these several years ago. It only took a few hours for the muddy water to come crashing through most of the city, making it inhabitable for weeks. But even today, years later, some flooded houses still sit untouched, filled with ruined possessions, covered in layers of stinking mold and rot. These are the food that spoils. But the blessings that Jesus brings, forgiveness and eternal life, and a blessed fellowship among believers, you know, no storm could touch those. But if we are only striving after God's physical blessings, then we are working for food that spoils instead of food that endures forever. Jesus is not our advisor. He is our Savior. He didn't come in this world to give us new laws or to keep or to set up a self-help course for our salvation. He came to be a Savior, actually the Savior. The work of God, Jesus explains, is this: to believe in the one who he has sent. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and those who believe in me will never be thirsty." So we are invited to come to him and put our trust in him. The call of Jesus to us in this chapter is an evangelistic call. Have you tasted the bread of life? Or are you still working on the bread that perishes? Don't be satisfied with moldy bread. Come to Jesus and receive the best and the finest, 100% whole wheat, top of the line, the stuff that will keep you going forever. In conclusion, it's a humbling thing to admit that you are a lost sinner. It is humbling to have to come before God empty-handed, to realize that everything about your salvation depends upon his mercy towards you. Many of the people who heard Jesus that day refused to believe it. They weren't looking for what Jesus had come to give them. But Jesus still comes to you with the same promises. He doesn't claim to offer you worldly success or riches. He offers you a heavenly feast. He doesn't claim to make you feel good about your chances for earning salvation. He insists that he himself is the only way, that his blessings cannot be earned, but only received as a gift. To many people, he's not the kind of Savior they're looking for. But for us who believe, he is far, far better. When you are looking for heavenly blessings, then you will find Jesus in exactly what you are looking for. Be nourished by this and never go hungry. Amen. At this time, our ushers will wait on us.
Please rise and join in the offering. Found on page number 4. Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth the moon from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to the feast of life. With reverence for the earth, those in need, and the whole human family, let us offer our prayers to God with a moment of silent prayer. Equip the saints of God for ministry. Build up and unite the body of Christ for the sake of the mission of the world. Hear us, O God. Grant wisdom to all the nations. Grant wisdom to all who lead nations and hold public office, and give them humility to speak in truth and love. Hear us, O God. Rain down from your providence on all creation. May the bounty of the earth provide enough food for all. Hear us, O God. Feed the hungry, sustain the weary, challenge the complacent, and heal the sick and brokenhearted. Hear us, O God. Sustain us with the bread of life until we join all the saints around your bountiful table in glory. Hear us, O God. Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us confess together our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. As an appointed layperson, I am honored to assist in serving communion this morning. And today we're going to have four servers, so we will have two lines coming up. That way we can service people much faster. And I would like to invite all to the table of our Lord this morning. And we will be using the intinction method. It's a communion method where we dip the bread into either the darker colored wine or the lighter colored grape juice. So I'd like to invite you to the Lord's Supper when the time is due. Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread and gave thanks and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for their forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for now all is ready. Please rise and join in the prayer after communion found on page number 6 of your bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us into your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to your people in the world and to proclaim the truth of this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is found on page 439, Soon and Very Soon.
Soon and very soon.